I want to share with you a sermon that I actually gave in Sweden. And it was something that God has spoken to me personally about, but I felt like it was also, I hoped, a message of hope for Swedes, people who, Christians who live in a country where it's not always easy and popular to be a Christian. They face unique challenges as Christians there. And but I want to share with you this because I hope that it might be a word of hope for you too. Because all of us, regardless of where we live, all of us have challenges, unique struggles. All of us face hardship in our life. All of us face moments where our faith is tested. All of us, I think, face moments where we question, like, is it worth it? Is the cost worth it, following Jesus? All of us struggle with, can I trust Jesus in this moment, in this season? And there's a verse that God gave me. I've shared it with my wife, and I shared it with the Swedes, and I'd like to share it with you this morning. It's Esther 4, verse 14. It says this. For if you remain silent at this time, relief and deliverance for the Jews will arise from another place, but you and your father's family will perish. And who knows, but that you may have come to your royal position for such a time as this. Even what this is a strange verse. What is this? I wanna share the bigger story of Esther and this moment, because this is a powerful moment. This is a man named Mordecai who's speaking to his cousin Esther in the midst of a perilous situation. A situation that Esther was likely feeling fear, anxiety, wonder about what might happen, risk. And Mordecai says to her, perhaps this is a moment God has destined for you. In a different translation, it said, perhaps you were made for such a time as this, Esther. Perhaps this wasn't an accident where God has you. Perhaps the things that are going on in your life, while you don't know why, while they might seem unfair, while they seem difficult, while you don't have a sense of how you might get through it or what God is up to, perhaps it was no accident. Perhaps, like, God had this moment and this time to show up in your life, to do something in your life. Perhaps you were made for such a time as this. It's a short verse, but I think it's truth. It has incredible power, and it has the ability to shape and reshape the way we look at our circumstances, the way we look at our lives, the way we look at the difficult things in our lives. So I'll start with this question. What challenges are going on right now for you? Where is there worry in your heart? Where is there uncertainty as you look ahead? Are there things that you sort of go, man, I wish that would disappear. I wish this would just change. I wish my situation was different. What are things that you just go, God, make it better now? My wife and I, you know, navigating parenthood, as many of you know, is not always easy. You don't always have a playbook. The depth of love I have for my children, I feel like you can't really describe until you have children. But the depth of love that comes with being a father, you also don't never realize, like, the depth of anxiety that can come, like, along with that love, like wanting the best for my children, wanting a good future. And not knowing, you know, like not having control over things that I would love to be able to have control over. But, we love all our kids, and we're so thankful for the kids that God has given us. And, you know, each one has, each one is unique, and each one has its unique challenges. You know, particularly our son, our oldest son, Jonas, has some unique challenges that we have had to navigate from some of his earliest days, trusting God, not knowing how things are going to play out. And there are days, if I'm honest, that I think my wife and I just go, it's really, really hard. Days where we go, what do we do? We have no idea what to do. We don't even know who to talk to about what to do. Wondering, like, will things get better? What does the future hold? And not knowing can instill anxiety and fear. And there's days, I know for me, where I just go, why, God? This just seems unfair. There's things in life that we look out into the world and we experience ourselves where we just go, this seems deeply unfair. It's one thing if I royally mess up. I made a bad choice and I have to deal with the consequences of those choices. But the things that seem to inflict the innocent are difficult to navigate. I look and I go, why children? Why my son? He doesn't deserve that. He didn't do anything. It was just no choice he made. God, why? This seems so unfair. And if I'm honest, it's easy to look around and you see other families, you see other children who, at least on the surface, have it together, are normal. And you just sort of wish, oh, I wish our circumstances were maybe different. I don't know, do you ever do that? You look out at others and think, man, if I just had what they had, if my life was like their life, if my circumstances changed and I had that and they were like that, my husband was like that guy, or my kids were like that, or if I had what they have there, if I had a house like they had, if I had a job like that, I mean, it sort of goes on and on and on. I'd say it's actually one of the poisons of social media. It's an easy thing to get caught in looking out and just sort of going, I wish I had what they had. I wish my circumstances were different. Even though we don't even know most of the time what's really going on in a person's life. But while it's easy to get caught in that thinking or doing comparison like that, one of the things we have to recognize is that way of thinking, it does nothing to bring life. It only robs from a person. Because we get caught up in looking at what other people have, and while we do that, it keeps us from recognizing just the beautiful blessings God has given us. Like reflecting on the blessings that God has given us, even the difficult things, and just enjoying. If you spend your life just wishing you had other things or different circumstances or having what other people have, it robs you from enjoying what you do have. The other thing that it robs us of is that it robs us from the opportunities that God has allowed in our life, the challenges that while we may not be comfortable with, we may not want to be in, it robs us from the opportunity for God to use it, to look those challenges, look at them face to face, take them head on, and trust in what the Bible says, that God can use all things for good. All things. That means even the bad choices that you and I have made, where we are navigating the fallout from those bad things, like in repentance, God can use for good. Even in the unfair things that are completely out of our control that we wonder, God, why are you on this? Where are you in this? That something good can come from those things. But it takes a different way of thinking. It requires from many of us, a paradigm shift in how we look at our lives and how we look at the challenges in our lives and the suffering in our lives. And this moment, that verse that I read for you, perhaps you were made for such a time as this. Perhaps you were made queen for such a time as this. That is a moment where this woman, Esther, is being challenged to embrace a paradigm shift, to look at her current situation differently, to not succumb to the anxiety and the fear of the unknown, to not give up in the midst of maybe suffering. So I wanna share with you the story around this verse and that this moment. I can't read for you because basically the whole book of Esther is the story of Esther. So I'm just gonna do my best to kind of summarize it for you. But the story of Esther, it takes place in the Persian Empire, many years before Jesus, where the story centers around this girl named Esther. She's a Jew. And tragically, both parents died when she was very young. And so she ends up being raised by her cousin, whose name is Mordecai. Mordecai, over time, he becomes this father figure to Esther. Someone she goes to for wisdom and advice throughout her life. And the text tells us that Esther is just this, she's this splendid woman, beautiful woman. She's humble, she's faithful, she's striking. And at this time, there was the king of Persia, his name was King Xerxes. He's looking for a new queen, and he does basically a nationwide search for a new king. And so they hold this kingdom-wide search, and the story goes that Esther is ultimately chosen out of all the women. Esther is chosen to be the next queen. In doing so, though, Mordecai tells her that she should not reveal to the king her identity as a Jew. In Esther 2:10, it says this. I don't have it on the screen, but it says, Esther had not revealed her nationality and family background because Mordecai had forbidden her to do so. Now, why did Mordecai do this? He likely did it out of wisdom and caution. At the time, the Jews were a minority group. And because of that, in the Persian Empire, there was prejudice. And because of that, danger could arise. It could put not only Esther in a precarious and dangerous position, but her family. And so she keeps it hidden from the king of who she really is and that she's a Jew. At the same time, there's this man who kind of rises the ranks. His name's Haman, and he's this very proud and very powerful man who rises to such a high position in the kingdom that at one point he demands that everyone bow to him, like as a god in worship. And Mordecai is a Jew. He loves the God Yahweh. He loves God. He knows like he's not commanded to worship or bow down to anyone but Yahweh. And so Mordecai refuses to bow down to this man, Haman, and it enrages Haman. And so Haman goes on with the power that he has to plot and destroy not just Mordecai, not just take Mordecai's life, but all the Jews in the empire. And so he convinces the king to issue a decree for their complete annihilation. And this is where the story is when there's this moment between Mordecai and Esther. Because Esther finds herself in a position where she has a connection to the king. I mean, she's the queen. She has then possibly influence. And what are they, I mean, what are they gonna do? They're the minority group. Are they gonna try to run? Are they gonna try to revolt? Like, there's not many cards on the table to be played. And so Mordecai goes to her and he urges Esther to speak to the king. Like, you need to say something. You need to save your people. And you might go, this is weird. Like, why is this such a big deal? Well, This is a very different time, very different culture, very different practices. Look, you didn't approach the king. Unless you were summoned by the king himself, you didn't just knock on the door. You didn't just show up. If you did that, it actually could cost you your life. It was of such disrespect and really was a form of rebellion that you could lose your life. And so when Mordecai comes to Esther and says, like, hey, would you go speak to the king? This is no small request. This is dangerous. This puts her life at risk. He could just slay her and go find some other woman in the empire to be his queen. And so when Mordecai comes to Esther in this moment, you have to imagine that she's feeling a lot of a range of emotions, fear, anxiety, you know, concern, worry. Like, this is her life. This is her livelihood. And it's in this moment where Mordecai says to her this verse. Perhaps this is of no accident that you are here right now. Perhaps it's more than just your beauty that got you here, Esther. It was not an accident. Perhaps God, through all the turns in your life, through all the moments of uncertainty, through all the fear and anxiety, through all the good choices, maybe bad choices, maybe God brought you here in his sovereignty. Maybe he destined you, Esther, for this moment in all of human history to be given this opportunity, for this moment to rise up in courage and be a part of God saving his people. You know, it's easy, I think, for us, we look at the bad things that are happening in our life or have happened to us in our lives or the unfair things, and it's easy to just feel like we're a victim to that thing, those things, like pure victim. And one of the things that when we feel like a victim, it's easy to just sort of wallow in despair and feel like I don't know what to do. And the truth is, there are things that happen in our lives that we are a victim to. Like, there are things out of our control. It's not because we made a bad decision that this thing is happening to us. It's just that the reality is we live in a busted, broken up world where bad things happen, unfair things happen to good people, to righteous people. And it's important to say, like, I do not believe that God, like, authors that, like, that. I don't think God authors infliction upon your children. I don't think God is the one who authors. In fact, I think it pains God. But that because of our rebellion and because of sin, there's a brokenness that came with our rebellion, our rejection of God. From the moment in the Garden of Eden, when death was ushered in, it brought about spiritual division, it brought up spiritual brokenness, it brought about physical brokenness, emotional brokenness. And so we live in a busted, broken world where unfair things happen to really good people. And we can't make sense. We can't make sense of it. And yet there are things in our lives where I believe God, he's allowed, he's maybe orchestrated for you to have a sense of an opportunity to rise up, to be used by God. There are challenges, unfair, hard, even scary things that God does allow in our lives. And for us to sort of say, I can be a victim of that, or what if in faith I chose to think differently about my current circumstances and go, maybe God is with me in this. Maybe there is purpose in this, even in my suffering. Maybe God has destined you for this moment to face this challenge, to sort of be like Jesus, trust Jesus, be transformed to be more like him. You know, as my wife and I have navigated the unique challenges of raising our son, there's days where we just, it's tough. And I don't know the answer to why. The children thing is a tension and a wrestling with God that I will have probably my whole life. When there's innocence involved, why God? Why a child, you know? And in God's far greater wisdom than mine, I don't know the answer, but it requires a faith to sort of say, despite how I feel, I trust you, God. I trust that you gotta be in this. And I trust that you are doing something. And that's the message of the gospel is Jesus enters the mess. He enters the brokenness. God himself enters it. And in doing so, he defeats sin and death and darkness. And the promise of the Bible is that all things are being made new. That there will be a day where every tear is wiped, where every wrong is made right, where every disease is healed, where there is no more death. There is no more disease. There is no more decay. On a particularly difficult day, I stumbled upon, believe it or not, an Instagram ad where I bought something. I didn't know if I was getting scammed or not, but it was this bracelet, and it says Esther 4:14. And I bought two of them, and I gave one to my wife to remind us of something, that of all the people who have ever lived, of all the people who are alive today, God chose me and Kristen to be Jonas's mom and dad. Perhaps you and I were made for a time such as this. To love that kid, to serve that kid, to give him every opportunity, to show up when it's difficult. I don't believe it's an accident. And it's easy to sort of either let the difficulty of life kind of get us down, or with Christ and the power of the Holy Spirit in us, to recognize that there is good that can come from every difficult circumstance in our life, and to let it make us stronger. Esther's story, it ends, I gotta close here. Esther's story, it ends with a good. She goes to the king, she doesn't die. She pleads on behalf of her people. The king is outraged. He ends up executing Haman in the very gallows that he had set up for Mordecai. And the Jews are saved, and there's the celebration. That celebration became the Feast of Purim, which is still observed today by Jews who remember how God used Esther's courage to save her people. I shared this with Christians in Sweden, and I share it with you. I shared it with Christians in Sweden to say, you know what, like, in the difficulty of being a Christian in a country that is not helping you out, where you're facing ridicule and challenges, perhaps you were made for this moment. Like, it isn't an accident that you were born in this moment in all of human history. It wasn't an accident that God put you in Stockholm, in Sweden, in your neighborhood, in this moment, in this time in history. You, perhaps you were made for a time such as this, to be a part of the kingdom of God coming, breaking through the darkness that is in Sweden, to be a part of a work that God is doing. And the same thing I would say to you as the band comes up. It is not an accident. You are where you are. And maybe you were meant for this moment in all of human history to join in what Jesus is doing. Even in your trials, even in your difficulties, even in your suffering. I'll leave you with the story of a man who's deeply inspiring to me. His name's Jamie Carrington. Here's a picture of him. He's on social media. I follow him on Instagram, and he's a believer. He's a young man who has spinal muscular atrophy. He has spent his entire life in a wheelchair, unable to care for himself. If there's a guy who goes, "This is unfair, I don't deserve this." If there's a person who has the right to be mad at God, this is somebody who has a right. And yet on one of his videos, this is what he said, and I want to read it for you. "On the surface, it seems like my life is unbearably hard and difficult. But I have a pretty good life. I'm a happy camper. I don't have many complaints. And I think I'm able to live that way because of the circumstances I've been given and the privilege of this life that I'm able to live. Yes, it is a privilege because I get to be grateful for the things most people take for granted. I get to be so humble that I experience God and meet God in ways that most people haven't. So yeah, life is good. There's not much for me to complain about. People always assume that my life is a terrible thing and that it is a burden. And while it can be sometimes, and I don't always have the best day ever, it's a blessing and it's a privilege to have this life. Because God ultimately said, you know what? I'll give this life to you, Jamie, even in its difficulties, even in its challenges. Because I know, Jamie, you're the right person for it. And I think God gave you," this is now him saying to his listeners, "I think God gave you your life because he knew you were the right person for it." What, is that not an amazing perspective? Let's stand together. God, would you give us that kind of perspective with whatever it is we're facing today? Speak to us, Holy Spirit. We need you. Help us to keep our eyes fixed on you, Jesus, to trust you in the darkness, in the valleys, to know that you are good. Jesus, that you stepped into this, you created a way, that there are far better days ahead of us than behind us, to keep going to trust you, to rise up knowing that perhaps we were made for this moment. We pray it in Jesus' name. Amen.